What's going on, everybody? Welcome to League Pass and Chill. Hope everyone had a good week.
Oh, don't sound so weird.
I hope everyone had a great...
You sound so weird.
You sound like concierge.
I just got creeped out.
But I do. Hope
no, you can't touch my bag.
And I hope everyone here had a great week. My name is Olga Nulich. I am one of the hosts on this podcast because I am joined by Gunnar Natalovic.
Hello.
Ted Smith.
Yes.
And Harrison Pullinger.
G'day.
Wherever you are listening to this podcast, make sure you do all the nice things on there. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. We do want to give a special shout out to people who did things of that nature last week, over the past week, because we had an interesting pod. So what happened was...
I wasn't there, so everything fell apart.
And I'm not in like the editing process, so like this also doesn't fall on me.
Ogun's taking shots. I was joking.
I was also joking.
No, it was my fault. We thought it was a bit flat last week's podcast.
It was
in the absence of me.
There's a Star Wars quote.
It's not on you.
There's a Star Wars quote. I think it was Luke Skywalker that said, "Failure, the best teacher. It is." As long as we learn.
Did you write that down? You pointed at your book. Did you write that?
I watched Star Wars last night. It was Yoda that said it too. But yeah, no, we live and we learn. So you'll notice there is no background music on this week's episode, and that is because of the feedback we got from you guys, which we do appreciate.
Yeah, so I do want to shout out. So we got Damon Mariazzo, my man. Thank you for your feedback.
Yep.
That was on Twitter. And we also got one from, I think, a regular listener, Nick Buzalis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think both of them are regular listeners. But
yeah, that's so lovely. We appreciate that. Again, if you like what you hear, rate, review, subscribe, do all the good stuff. Now, while we were gone, lots of things happened. Dave Fizdale was fired by the New York Knicks, and Mike Miller, not that Mike Miller, has stepped in as interim head coach. The Cavaliers are now listening to trade offers for Kevin Love, according to ESPN. That's a fun development. In a sad development, Blazers wing Rodney Hood suffers torn Achilles.
Why is Rodney Hood's injury a joke?
No, it's not. It's just the way
Rodney
you
Hood's
said
terrific.
That.
What?
It's just the way you said that.
That's like interesting.
Like a news.
That's sad.
Like a newsreader. Like you know.
No,
I think that's the problem.
Anyway,
sorry. Rodney Hood suffered a torn left Achilles against the Lakers. It's very sad.
It is sad.
It's like one of the worst injuries.
It's like maybe the worst.
Yeah.
Apart from like death.
Yeah, or Paul George, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, true. Yeah.
I don't know if death is an injury, but true.
It's like a part of yeah.
It's a setback.
Ben Simmons hit another three. And also Australia's burning down. So that's like definitely connected.
Yeah.
After today's win over the Magic, the Bucks are now on a 15-game winning streak. So they're crazy good. And finally, and this is the big one, and there's a lot of info here, so just bear with me. The NBA announced that Adam Silver has denied the Houston Rockets protest after losing to the Spurs on December 3. Okay, what happened was James Harden got a dunk. It went in the basket, in the net, flipped around on top of the rim, and then bounced off the rim. Refs didn't see it go in. They didn't count the bucket. Mike D'Antoni wanted a coach's challenge. That wasn't granted because it wasn't within like a 30-second time window because they were complaining during that 30 seconds. The NBA deemed basically that they should have had that coach's challenge, but that the Rockets wouldn't get to play the final 750 of that game again because that would be absurd.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. So that's going to lead us into our first little conversation, which is that did the NBA make the right call with that, just not allowing the Rockets to have that protest, as far as not playing back the last half of the fourth quarter again.
Yes, obviously. Like, obviously. Like, what? No.
Because that bucket, because it ended up being a one-point game.
Yeah, but they had, the rest of regulation
7 minutes.
Time and
like
two overtimes, right?
So that, and they were up 12 at that point.
They were. And that was the NBA's sort of reasoning behind it. They said that the Rockets had sufficient time to overcome the error, which they obviously did. However, it's still like, I'm just playing devil's advocate. It's like, it's points.
So you're saying it's different to a missed call or?
Because like, this is like as objective as it gets. Like it went in the bucket.
All right. But what about like a goaltending call that's missed where technically if it was goaltending, that is points.
Replay the game.
I don't know. There's just like, there's a question on our piece of paper on our rundown that said, is that protest the most Rockets thing ever? The answer is yes.
Totally.
That is such a ridiculous thing to protest. No other team in the NBA.
Mind you,
that.
they absolutely had to protest.
Really?
Because if right. they didn't, it goes on SportsCenter, not top 10 that night, and that's it. That was that's a massive fuck up from the refs.
It's egregious, but like the answer is never let's replay seven minutes.
I think their response to what they think should happen, ridiculous. But the fact that they lodged a protest with the NBA saying something needs to happen, yeah, sure. That needed to happen. Otherwise, it gets swept under the rug. The refs say, I'm sorry, and we move on.
Mm. I'm fine with them complaining. Just ask, like, the actual yeah. protest itself and, like, the nature of what they were actually asking for.
Get what Olgan's saying. Like, the fact that it was a basket, maybe there was a window directly after the game where they could have just said, well, they technically scored that other basket. Let's just count it. You know what I mean?
Like, because
it went in. It was a basket.
If there was no more basketball played after that basket, I could understand it. But like, there was so much time, and the context changes as soon as that's not a basket.
For sure. It's like, just that it was a basket. That's all.
He's not wrong.
They're owed 2 points. That I can see it, but in terms of changing the result, as far as I'm aware, in the history of all sport, you can deduct points from a team that did win if they did it, you know, with an extra man on the court or the field in other sports. But in terms of flipping it and giving the 2 points to the competition points to the team that lost, not that I'm aware of. It never happens. What are we even talking about?
Well, so, and like you said, Harrison, the NBA did come out and say that they are disciplining those officials and they're also making the guideline around the coaches' challenge clearer. So good did come from this. Like, they are giving us clarity behind, like, one of the new rules that they've put in place. So I guess that is the good thing that's come of it.
That 30 seconds that D'Antoni had to challenge, that went really quickly because once the call was made, everyone was so confused.
Yeah.
D'Antoni was like, no, it's a basket. And then Harden was talking to the ref. 30 seconds goes in no time, and then he tried to challenge. And surely there are people in the replay center that can be like, hey, that was, like, ref, that was a basket.
Yeah.
And they can give him the challenge.
That's what I don't get either. So firstly, I don't know how the refs didn't see it. But also, how is there not a situation in any sport where the ref in Secaucus or whatever just says like, yeah, guys, that went in. Just count that. Or even if it's like an out-of-bounds call where it's obviously off someone, why do they have to walk around and like go look at the TV thing? Why not just like a guy in Secaucus says, that was off DeMarcus Cousins. Like,
But it's weird because they do that with like threes that are actually twos or twos that are threes.
Yeah.
Like they add that as soon as like, as soon as play stops, like during a timeout, they'll be like, oh no, actually that was a three.
Yeah.
So why, I don't know why they couldn't do that, but I don't know, just give like Houston a 2 point head start the next time they play the Spurs. Right?
Sure.
I mean, it is just 2 points.
Yeah.
I mean, what if
the Spurs lose by one, by two, by three? I don't know what I'm saying. The Knicks. Let's talk about the Knicks. So the Knicks, like I said, they fired David Fizdale. That seemed inevitable, obviously.
That one fizzed out real quick. Sorry, I'll leave.
So they have the worst record in the NBA currently. They're 4-19. They're really bad because they signed heaps of power forwards. RJ Barrett is like pretty good, but like not.
He's a rookie.
He's not franchise changing good right now. Mike Miller is their 13th head coach in 18 seasons. Nobody wants to play there. And the latest reporting is that they really, 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 really want Masai Ujiri from the
So does everyone.
So in the offseason, I think it was the Wizards who basically told Masai Ujiri, hey, look, we'll give you anything you want to be our GM or to like lead our basketball.
They would need an actual wizard to cast a spell to get him to go there.
Right. And so that's where they're at right now. Is there like, so another thing that happened was Adam Silver said that he wouldn't intervene with the Knicks. It's a weird conversation to say, should he intervene, but should someone intervene?
Well, people have tried to intervene. Other part owners of the Knicks have asked Dolan to take a step back, but he's not going to do that from what I can see. So unless someone steps in, but why would they step in on a franchise that still makes the most money in the NBA? They're worth almost $3.5 billion. Annual profit last year was $333 million US. That's $487 million Australian. Like, that's so bad.
Is that your phone, Ted?
Yeah. I'm always on silent. Like, I never answer your guys' calls.
He doesn't.
You know, so can they step in just because a team is bad? You know, if they were struggling off the court and on the court, for sure, you could see the powers that be stepping in and taking the reins. But when they're making so much money, I don't know if there's a platform there for anyone to intervene.
They could be making more money. If they
already make the most.
I know, but if they were a good team, imagine just like, I get it, people go to their games because it's the Mecca and whatever. But if they were a good team, more people would buy their jerseys. If they had better players, more people would buy the jerseys of that player.
It just feels like. Don't get me wrong, I want him out of there. Like, totally. I want the Knicks to be competitive again, for sure. It'd be great. But
Harrison, what has to happen for the Knicks to be good again? It's been like, I don't think in my lifetime have they been good.
No, they wouldn't. Yeah. The thing that I keep coming back to and why they, as you've written here, froth Masai Ujiri so much, is that you look at Steve Mills, the president, and you look at Scott Perry, the general manager. Neither of them really came up through the scouting world, through the video world. I mean, even really through the coaching world. These are guys that are really good businessmen. And I do say really good businessmen. I know the Knicks look like a disaster right now, but as Ted said, they make all the money.
Yep.
James Dolan is a good businessman. You look at the top five general managers right now, you've got, Bob Myers at the Warriors?
Yeah.
He was an agent who specialized in player recruitment, talent retention, and contract negotiation, according to his Wikipedia page. They are three pretty bloody handy things when you come to a general manager.
But Myers wrote that.
He was literally the guy they brought in being like, oh, this person's going to go to another agency, have lunch with him.
Yeah.
That's the man who's been looking after the Warriors.
The Wikipedia page was like edited by Mob Byers.
Then you've got Masai Ujiri, who was an international scout, unpaid, then worked in Denver, then made his way through the chain of command to be a general manager. Danny Ainge was an all-star and an NBA champion who coached the Phoenix Suns for three seasons before moving into a front office job. And then you've got, like, arguably Dennis Lindsay is up there as well.
Mm.
He was literally a video scout who then worked as the assistant general manager in San Antonio for 5 years, one of the best organizations. These guys have all built their careers over watching talent, understanding what that talent is worth, and signing players because of it. And you look at their teams now, they're all really good. The Knicks don't have anyone like that now.
That's true.
Wait, are you saying signing only power forwards in the offseason was not a good move?
I'm saying maybe like the president being a banker, not good. Literally a banker, worked for Chase Bank.
Worked for Chase?
Yeah. It was Chase. That's how old he is, dude.
Oh, damn. I was with Chase when I lived in the US.
Yeah.
Chase is a great bank.
Don't talk up banks. You can see why they want a GM like Masai Ujiri, though. Ujiri?
Masai Ujiri?
Ujiri. You know,
You got neither the first name or the last.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, that's my bad, clearly. But you look at what the Raptors were before he was there and what they were known as. They were known as the team that T-Mac didn't want to stay at, that Vince Carter didn't want to stay at, that Chris Bosh didn't want to stay at. That's who they were. The Knicks need someone that are going to completely change the narrative and the way that organization looks, and he's someone that can completely change the narrative of a franchise. So you can see why they'd want him. It's just a matter of it's money, right? Yeah. Can they throw enough money at him to get him to come there? But that's what it's come to.
The problem is, at least from my perspective with the Knicks, is they have to do something to signal a change, right? Now, this offseason, that was supposed to be bringing in two max free agents, right?
Yep.
But they struck out because for the free agents to want to come to New York, they have to see a sign of change. So it's just trying to figure out how to get the message out there that like, oh, we're turning the corner. This offseason, they've done the opposite because they missed out on the free agents. Then they signed a bunch of dudes that aren't going to help them win games. And that's a problem again. They've sacked their head coach. There's no one to really believe in and get behind. And they're obviously looking to make changes in the front office. So it's like, what has to happen in New York for everyone to kind of go like, okay, there's a new movement there. Is it a free agent? Is it a coaching acquisition? Is it a front office acquisition? What is it?
It's
complete rebranding.
It's everything. So right now they've...
What comes first though? Because it's like something has to...
Jason Kidd.
Shit.
What comes first is you either hire the general manager or the head coach, and whichever direction they want to go in, you plan accordingly. If you hire the general manager first, you hiring a guy with a vision of how he wants the game played. You hire a coach that can fulfill that vision, and then you get the players. If you hire the coach first, okay, you've got the game plan. Now you need the general manager who's got the smarts to go out and get the player. With the Knicks, they have had how many coaches in the last couple of years? Countless.
13 in 18.
Okay, countable.
but it's just like a big
number. It took me a while. It's a lot.
Yeah. After 13, it gets tough, right?
Yeah, I'm out of toast. So there's been talk about Becky Hammond, the Spurs assistant, going over there. Look, she seems pretty good, but I just feel like she's walking straight into the lion's den where the front office didn't even want to talk to Fizdale.
Yeah.
Are they really going to sit down and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to tell her that this team we've assembled for her is perfect and she needs to go win games?
Yeah, I was going to throw that at you and to everyone. If the Knicks hired Becky Hammond as head coach and brought in Masai Ujiri as general manager and then drafted James Wiseman, really solid 7-1 big man out of Memphis. Do you have a bit more faith in them? Is that a good start in like shifting the narrative of the New York Knicks?
Sure.
Like so you have Barrett, Wiseman, Hammond, Ujiri, and still like Dolan being like a piece of shit up top.
Dolan's the complication because you kind of go like, how much can I really believe that this is all going to change? Because while he's there, it seems like nothing can change. But yeah, I think like the ultimate makeover is what they're looking for, whether that is at head coach or in the front office or free agency. I just like, you look at the Brooklyn Nets, for example, and how they were able to build a culture and a roster to then attract free agents. Like the Knicks have done, they've had so many years now to be able to put something in place, a plan in place to be able to sell to free agents, and they just haven't.
Yeah. I mean, they thought they did when they landed Stoudemire and Melo. They thought they did, right?
Sure. That was a fun team too.
That was a long time ago though.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to do anything since then. And they thought they could rely on, hey, we're in New York as like a sales pitch to KD and Kyrie. But like, show us like anything, just anything to believe. They haven't done that.
Well, one of the things that I was talking to Olgan about this earlier that I truly believe might actually help getting free agents is they need a new training facility. Because right now their training facility is more than an hour outside of Manhattan. If you're a big name free agent, do you want to sit in New York traffic for an hour there, an hour back, sometimes two, three times a day? No.
I would say up to 20% of free agents would say no, mostly because of that.
Really?
Man, I don't know the numbers, but I think that would be pretty huge. If you can play, if living in New York is your thing, Brooklyn, right next door, their training facility is around the corner from Barclays. That's a big selling point to me. I don't need to sit in traffic.
I reckon 20% of players would have chosen the Nets over the Knicks just because of that. That's like,
I don't know.
Science.
I think you guys are forgetting how like nice and cushy their cars are. Like their cars probably have like leg room.
But
games. And
but I have a nice car too, and it takes me so long to
flex.
Get to work.
Flex.
Weird flex. Yeah,
it's not a flex, no. But I'm saying that like traffic is traffic.
Yeah, I guess. Would you rather even if it's a first class flight? Would you rather be like sitting in a plane in first class, or would you rather be at home?
As someone who has never flown first class,
neither have I. I think I would
like really to fly first class.
It's really cute.
Still being a snob.
One day. It's gross. One final thing on the Knicks. It can't help the fan base when they look at the things they got from the Porzingis trade. That hasn't really worked out for them either. I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. has been disappointing. DeAndre Jordan's at the Nets now. Wesley Matthews, man.
And their war chest of picks are now not that good because
the
Dallas
Knicks
look good.
And the Knicks organization are the ones that are going to use those picks. So you don't trust them either, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, and that cap space that they got from that, how'd that work out?
Yeah.
Fully sick.
Yeah.
They still have cap flexibility.
They signed right now, but
in a free agent that matters, they've got a lot of cap flexibility. And if you're telling me that one of those top flight GMs, or whether it's someone else who has a similar mindset, can't squeeze some of that young talent that they've got with those Dallas picks and turn them into actual players, then yeah, okay, the Knicks are screwed and
forever.
Maybe Adam Silver should intervene.
Let's go down the road and look at the Nets, because they've been without Kyrie Irving for, it looks like, 12 games now. And in those 12 games, Spencer Dinwiddie has been playing extremely well. And I think that they should trade Kyrie Irving. Does anyone agree with me?
Wait, do you actually think that? Is that a
that's
genuine
1+1
opinion?
Equals explosion.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I just think we've seen enough evidence of Kyrie being a culture killer and this Nets team having a really good culture that I just think it makes sense. I understand like the collateral damage that brings you, right?
He was brought there to conduct a KD and Kyrie experiment,
yeah,
right?
That's the main thing.
You have to wait. And also you have to ask how KD would feel about it.
No, totally. Yeah. And like he'll let you know, right? But I'm just saying
fire his burner account.
Correct. Yeah. Like all of them. Mm. No, I'm just saying that like
Kevin Morant.
Just Kevin Durant with like a mustache. Yeah. I'm just saying that like there's something to say about a really, really good culture, and that's what the Nets had. And we knew that they would shake that up when they brought in Kyrie and Kevin Durant, but it's like we're seeing it again. We're seeing Spencer Dinwiddie in the starting lineup and that chemistry back.
Okay.
I understand I'm going overboard, but...
You are. You are going overboard, especially when you say in these last 12 games, like we've seen everything we need to see. And okay, you can only beat who you play, but so they're 9-3 and 6 of their wins have been Chicago, Charlotte twice, Sacramento, Knicks, Cleveland and Atlanta.
Poo-poo. Sacramento is not bad.
Like they beat Denver. They got a win over Denver and they got a win over Boston. But teams that are in the playoff hunt at the moment, they're 2-3 against over these 12 games. So are you saying that that's the answer?
I just think if you watch them play, you can see it's a completely different team, and it's a team that is more conducive to the culture that I think Kenny Atkinson tried to build for so long.
So Caris LeVert has been missing for more games than Kyrie Irving and over this stretch as well. Are you saying he needs to go as well?
No, but is he renowned for being a culture killer?
No, but this is a guy who they've brought on as not only the guy who's going to play make and run their second unit, but can also be a finisher. So who's not there, and you're saying that, like, what, they're better now because Kyrie and Caris LeVert aren't around?
But no, I'm saying, so Spencer Dinwiddie starts, right? Right now he's averaging in those 12 starts just under 24 points, 3.5 rebounds and 7.6 assists a game. He's playing really, really well on both ends as a starting point guard. What happens if you bring Caris LeVert as your backup guard, as this creator off the bench? You don't need Spencer anymore. Trade Kyrie. What do you want? Get anyone for Kyrie. Get a nice wing, right?
I think
that's all I'm saying.
How many people are out there like searching for a trade for a dude that's on $35 million?
But if it's
he's not the easiest person to get rid of.
I get that, but it's not like Kyrie's like Chris Paul. Like he's a young player.
Yeah, he is. But you're saying he's a culture killer, and he can't even play in this offense. So like, what's his value on the open market then?
Well, he's valuable to teams who need a player like that. The Nets don't need a player like that. They showed us last year why they don't need a player like
but,
that.
But, okay, here's my argument. It's like we didn't need to see any of these games being played to know that. Like, this was an off-season decision. Like, we knew Kyrie isn't a great culture guy. We knew they didn't really need a dude like Kyrie if they were getting KD. Kyrie's there because they needed to convince KD that it was worth coming to Brooklyn.
Yep.
He needed another start. Now, you can make an argument whether Kyrie really is the right, like, sort of 1B superstar to partner with anyone.
Right.
Or, like, what he is in the NBA currently. Because, like, we knew Spencer Dinwiddie could lead this Brooklyn Nets team of sorts. Like, he's done it for the past couple of years. He's done it as a sick man. He's done it when D'Angelo Russell hasn't been around. I kind of understand what you're saying. Like, doesn't this prove that, like, they don't really need Kyrie? And they, like, if you just added KD in, they'd be instantly one of the best teams in the East. I agree. I just, like, I don't know if you have KD to add if you don't have Kyrie there.
I get that. I get the idea of KD only being there because Kyrie's there. I just think, on paper, I think the team is better when Spencer Dinwiddie is our starting point guard.
My question would be, how much better? Like, what ceiling are you creating by getting rid of Kyrie Irving this year? And like, what's it all worth when you talk about bottom dollar? Like, how far could that team go in the East? I know it would depend on what player you got back for Kyrie, but would said player be enough to get you over Philly, Boston, even Toronto? Obviously not the Bucks, because I don't think anyone will get over the top of them outside of Philadelphia, potentially.
Mm.
But like, what are we even talking about? This is, you know,
I get that, and I get it's still extremely early. And Spencer Dinwiddie's played more games at...
Those numbers are impressive. They're starting point guard numbers for sure. Do they need Kyrie Irving to do what they're doing? Probably not. But in the bigger picture, in the bigger realm, if they're going to make a total push next year, I think Kyrie Irving probably going to be more important next season than he is this year.
Kyrie Irving played 11 games and the Nets weren't good. But that's 11 games with this team. Spencer Dinwiddie was been with this team for a couple of years. He played with all of these guys last year. He knows where they want the ball. He knows when to give it to them. The only addition there is DeAndre Jordan.
I get that. And I'm just saying, look, has Kyrie Irving shown over the course of his career that he can be that guy?
I guess the thing is, we're looking at what is the highest ceiling for this Brooklyn Nets team.
And the higher?
The highest ceiling only comes into effect when KD's back, right? Sure. The best version I think we've seen of Kyrie is when he's second to LeBron on that Cleveland team. So I guess we have to kind of wait and see whether KD's return means that Kyrie returns to that sort of player again, where in the postseason, a KD-Kyrie partnership has a higher ceiling in terms of Kyrie is a guy that can get you a bucket whenever you need a bucket, and that helps in the playoffs. Whether or not he is that culture killer over time is another question.
I get that. Look, I get the argument. I'm not an idiot. Let me ask you this.
No one's saying you're an idiot.
I know.
I said that earlier.
He always says it. It's good. We sit next to each other. Is Kyrie as revered as he is if he doesn't hit that shot to sink the Warriors in Game 7?
Yeah, I don't think he would be, but he does have that to fall back on, that he was a big dog in the championship year.
Kyrie's also a classic guy that dudes around the league overrate. Yeah. Versus like statistics and people that watch the game.
Because he looks cool when he does it.
He looks so cool when he does it.
Yeah.
Because like, he does things that are really hard to do. It's just sometimes that's not actually the most effective thing to do.
I like that he's actually not a great finisher around the rim, like statistically, but he hits some of the really, really hard ones. So it's like, oh, he's terrific.
I mean, I'm speaking for myself here, but I don't think we're Kyrie Irving fans. But I just think, as Gardy said, the ceiling matters, and the fact that you needed him to get KD matters, and the fact that I don't think there's a great market for point guards on $35 million.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Which is why we had it.
We did.
You decided whom.
Yeah, I write the game plan. Shut up. All right. Now, speaking of... No one. Is Nikola Jokic the most... I tried a segue. I couldn't. Is Nikola Jokic the most disappointing player in the NBA? So I know I'm throwing like some like hot takes out here, but I thought I'd just throw it out there for you, right? He's down about 4 points a game from last season. He's looking out of shape.
He's always looked out of shape.
But this season he's playing out of shape.
Yeah.
His numbers
correlate closer to his physique this year. For sure.
Correct. He's down in every single metric. And it looks like, I don't know, the reason why I say I think the most disappointing is because he went into the season coming off this crazy postseason, looking like a potential MVP guy for a Denver Nuggets team that I thought could probably go to another step. They just didn't.
Well, he was number 3 or 4 in most people's MVP votes last year, right?
Yeah, Jokic, and then had really good playoffs too. Yeah.
I saw someone on Twitter, I'm not sure their username, but it stuck with me. They said he looks like he sweats hot dog water. And it's so true. And we said this at the start of, I think I said this at the start of the season, like a week or so in, that he just looks so out of shape. And I feel like if it was any other guy, we'd be like way harsher on him, but he's kind of like quirky and European, so we don't really say anything. It's like, he's a big man who can pass, so we don't focus on the fact that athletically he's just not there, and he totally can be. Just like, get in shape, my guy.
He's done so much running though. Like he played all off season in the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't know.
But does that not add to it though? We saw this with Saric last year, where he went, played overseas for Croatia, came back, and he was a nightmare. Well, he couldn't get up and down the court. We're seeing it again with Jokic.
Let's talk about a player that you can compare their physiques. They're real similar, but the Greek freak. I mean, he was all in that World Cup. Obviously, they're different athletes, but he's gone to another level. So it can't be that much of a hindrance when someone that played just as much as you has gotten better after that experience. And it's not like it's widespread. A lot of the players in the NBA played at that World Cup, and it's like Jokic has been affected the most. I don't know if it is. If it is the World Cup, it's probably. I don't know. He just looks despondent when he goes to the bench. It's just like you're waiting for. Clearly, it's his team. He's clearly the best player in that team.
Yeah,
doesn't act like it. I think you know. There's something about the energy, not just in terms of physical output and what he's capable of, but just the mental energy. I don't know if it's there, and I think that seeps through to the rest of the game. But I will say this: they're still second in the league defensively, and he's a big part of that. I'll say Murray has been disappointing this year. I thought, like we thought, the Nuggets would take a step this year. I thought Murray would be part of that step, but he's been flat. Their bench has been disappointing. It's not just Jokic,
yep.
But I think the fact that Jokic is struggling, it could be why the rest of that team is struggling to get up as well.
I'm going
to
pump the brakes on this slightly because, okay, their record is not what we thought. His numbers are not what we thought. But this is a young team and they're learning each year. You look at their record currently, home and away. This is a team last year, couldn't get to 500 away. They're at 6-3 now. So that's on the road, they're winning games. At home, they're gonna end up with one of the best home records in the NBA. That always happens. So if they can figure out their away woes, that's a huge part in Denver being not only a great playoff team, but being a really, really dominant regular season team as well. You look at these numbers, they jump off the page at you and you go, Jesus, that's a lot. His usage rate's down. Okay, and I know that's not a good thing, but that is a little bit of an answer to why these numbers have dropped slightly. All right, it's gone from 27 last year to a tick under 25. That's enough for there to be a statistical difference, but his plus minus and his net rating are both up on last year. So what he's doing on the court is still helping Denver win.
And they're still 14-7.
Exactly. And they're still in the hunt with that top five in the West, which are all separated by not that much. If Denver go on a little five-game win streak and they're third, this isn't even a chat.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Not counting the Lakers. Lakers are, they're starting to put some.
Lakers are running away. We know the Clippers are good. And then we had Denver in that, not quite them, but like they're right there.
Yeah.
If they go on a little win streak, they are there.
See, for me though, it's like, and I get that. And they're a good regular season team. And like I'm not saying they're a terrible team right now, you know, just overall as far as their record. It's more just the fact that I don't see them going far in the postseason if they don't have a player like last season's postseason Jokic.
But last season's postseason Jokic was...
Say that five times.
Oh, man. I was just thinking about how many times really I've said cool. Season. that player was not the player we saw in the regular season. If we saw that player for 82 games, he would have been the MVP. He was torching players and he'd play really well in game one and two. And then he was the best player in the NBA almost from games three, four, five, and six, seven if they needed it. He figures out teams and he beats them. I think he is the perfect postseason player. I don't think he's a regular season player.
But that's what makes this whole thing infuriating. Like his ceiling is ridiculous. We know he's talent-wise one of the best players in the NBA. Talent-wise, probably the best big in the NBA. He's not in shape.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Is it a Draymond Green thing? So like last season, he was, 15 pounds overweight, so we can lose that over the course of a season?
No. But we saw fit Draymond, and then Draymond got fat.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, what the hell? And then he dropped it to shred for the playoffs. We've never seen fit Jokic.
It's also like...
Maybe this is fit Jokic.
Oh, shit. God.
Maybe he's just a disaster, his metabolism.
Look, we've said it a million times, but this Denver team will never... actually get over the hump until Jokic both plays like a superstar and thinks of himself as a superstar. And if you look at any of the top guys around the league, the one thing that they all have in common is that they are like they work tirelessly to be prepared for the NBA season. This guy doesn't look like he's put in the effort.
Look at LeBron.
He's coasting. He's coasting in the NBA.
Okay, but don't do
I know,
that.
I know.
But does he need to be great in the regular season? If he can coast, if they can start resting him a little bit, they've got a lot of depth in the front court. They don't need him to play big minutes anymore. Why is he playing 30 minutes for a dude who's clearly fat? Why isn't he just working on his body, chilling out in games a little bit more and getting him ready for the playoffs? Because playoff Jokic was great. He doesn't need to be great for 82 games.
I still think that Denver need to figure out, as you said, his usage rate has gone down. They need to figure out a way to win games consistently when his usage rate is a lot higher, because that's what it's going to need to be in the postseason.
Yeah,
they need to learn to play with a 1A superstar. And currently they play like, oh, everyone's the same. And it's like, nah, you've actually got like one of the most talented players in the NBA. It's about time they started treating him and he started treating himself like it.
Especially when they don't have a 1B superstar either.
Exactly.
Oh, holy shit. I just found an article titled Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic used to drink a gallon of Coca-Cola a day. Yeah, he might have a weight problem.
Yeah.
When was that from?
It was from 2017, so I hope he's got it down to half a gallon or something.
It was from last week.
A gallon is so much.
That's too much coke. Read a book, bro. You know that's not good for you. Oh, man. Wow.
All right, last thing we're going to touch on is something that I think is contentious, I think. Chris Paul, is he a gamesman or just a shit person?
Both things can be true, brother.
That is true. So it was this past week that the Thunder were down by they were down by one. Jordan Bell was about to check in for the Timberwolves. Chris Paul looked at him, so his shirt was untucked. Pointed out to the ref saying, jersey, jersey, jersey.
Yeah. That was the screamed thing. Screamed it like a little kid.
And pointed.
Daddy, daddy. It was
right.
Douchebag.
And
Scott Foster, the referee, being like, oh, yeah, good call, Chris. It's like, just tell him to shut up. It's like, go away.
So that was the Timberwolves' second delay of game that constituted a free throw. Gallinari would hit the free throw.
It was the most unbelievable finish.
Right. And it did lead to, you know, a crazy, you know, touchdown-like pass from Steven Adams to Dennis Schroeder. It went to overtime. The Thunder ended up winning. Basically because of that play put him in a position to win the game. The following game, Carmelo Anthony was upset with himself and upset with the official. He clapped his hands in frustration. Chris Paul pointed that out too, saying like, oh, like that's a tech, obviously. Carmelo got the tech, and now we're here.
Yeah, but Chris Paul did get done for two delay of games himself that next game as well. So.
And he called out the refs for saying that this is your showboating, you know, you're going to be on SportsCenter, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's like, are you just dobbing again, Chris Paul? Is that what you're doing?
That's what he does. Yeah. I also wrote down here that he's a notorious flopper, because he is, and that annoys me a lot. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why I just don't like him as a player. But he's also one of the most talented
six-inch rule.
Sorry?
Six-inch rule.
We have...
Yeah.
If you don't know what that means, go back a few pods. I think it was... what was it? Was it the mailbag? Go listen to it. You'll know what that means. Guys, what do we think? Is Chris Paul a gamesman? He plays the game really well. Like, we talk about James Harden. He does that. Floyd Mayweather plays boxing very well. Or is he a shit person?
Look, I'm also not the biggest Chris Paul fan. However, I do sort of respect the fact that when he got traded to Oklahoma, everyone was kind of like,
where's he next?
He's not even going to play. He's not going to even try. He's going to like try push his way out as soon as possible. I kind of love that he's that competitive, that as soon as he touches his, like as soon as he gets onto the court, it doesn't matter who he's playing for. It doesn't matter that he's not going to win a ring this year. He knows that, like with this OKC team, it doesn't matter. He's just that competitive. At the same time, I hate it. Like, it's so annoying. And like, I imagine he'd be the most annoying guy in the world to play against. Shit person? No, I don't think so. Because it's like, he's getting Carmelo teed up. Carmelo is a friend of his. He's doing it because he's an insanely competitive human. And you kind of, I don't know, like we're just talking about Jokic and like his kind of passive approach to the game annoys me. So like I can't get too angry at Chris Paul for caring that much.
For being on the other end of the extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He does cross the line at times, and this sort of stuff is a bit like, come on.
Yeah.
But I kind of respect it at the same time.
He's just been so childish for so much of his career.
Yeah. Remember Spitgate with Rondo and Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
always been into something.
I don't like, God, this is going to sound weird, but I don't like what he does or how he does it, but I do like that he's always trying to get an edge.
Yeah. I can respect it. I can respect
it. You know, some of the greatest players that have ever played basketball did similar things. They just did it slightly differently. Yeah. Jordan used to destroy people with what he said to them and did to them. Ron Artest was pulling Paul Pierce's pants down on an inbound play. Like, there have been players like this the whole time. And Ron Artest, everyone used to go, oh, he's such a pest, but what a defender. I think it's just kind of the same thing. He's just going for a mental edge. So I can't say shit person, but I do not really like it.
This could be determining factor if he is a shit person from my point of view. Is he a dick kicker or is that only Draymond Green?
He's not a dick kicker.
Not a repeat. Okay.
Nah, I don't think so. That's not his thing.
It's Draymond's thing.
There's Draymond all the time.
Yeah.
It's a favorite thing to do.
Okay.
But Chris Paul flops a lot. I think that's my main reservation with him. And this sort of thing is just like, bro, like why? It just annoys me.
Yeah. I also feel like, I mean, this is not exactly the question, but I do feel like he has a bit of a like inferiority complex in the sense that he's one of the all-time point guards, but like this generation, he's kind of just been forgotten because like in terms of the greatest players of this generation, he's not really going to be talked about. And in terms of the best point guard, Steph stole it. So it's like,
yeah,
I feel like he's a bit dirty on the whole thing.
Imagine being like, he is one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Yeah.
Imagine being that. But for the back end of your career, people only refer to you by your really bad contract.
And I remember when he was like right at the height and he was like undeniably the best point guard in the league. And there was a talk about he was leading the league in assists and there was a talk about what his numbers were doing and what that means in the grand scheme of things. And someone came out and said, yeah, if he plays for another 10 years, averaging like 16 assists per game, he'll be even with John Stockton.
Wow.
So it's pretty much every time that he's been given something good, everyone's always like, yeah, but you're not.
Chris Paul, I've got a video of him here punching Julius Hodge right in the nuts. He is a dick puncher.
But not a dick kicker.
It's an intentional flick of the wrist straight to old base nuts. I'm sorry, Chris Paul. Shit, dude. He got him. Look, he's still down.
Oh, it's at college as well.
Do you remember when Pau Gasol patted his head and he got really angry? That's very funny.
Short people do get angry at that.
Yeah.
I say short, like he's not the same height as me, which he is 185 centimetres.
Look, that's our discussion for the day. Before we end, I do like to throw out these quick fire question and answers because I think they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, we need to rebrand that.
Do we?
Yeah, fire. We don't want to touch that at the moment.
Oh, true.
I cannot breathe outside, man.
It's hard to breathe.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very, for those who don't know, where we live in Sydney, it is very smoky outside.
I got shit sunnies. I had to wear them today.
Dang.
Like my eyes stung when I left. So like what the people are going through up there must be hectic. Yeah. Anyway.
If you like what you heard, make sure to just subscribe and rate and review and stuff. And sincerely, if you want to donate to like a bushfire appeal, please go and do that. I know if you go to Maya, you can buy bottles of water and those proceeds go to
bushfire. There's probably better ways to do it.
I know, like put it on the fire.
No, but, not what I meant.
No. But that's the thing you can do to donate to bushfire appeal.
Sure.
They're in plastic bottles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One step forward, two steps back. Yeah, good job, Australia.
Okay. I try to be nice. First question of our quickfire question and answers.
Sorry.
All right. You have one point guard for the next 5 years. Ja Morant or Trae Young?
Oh.
Harrison? He wants to say Ja Morant.
I think I'm going to say Ja Morant.
Dang.
Yeah.
Ted?
No, I like points. I'll go Trae Young.
Gaddy?
I'm so happy you come up with good questions.
Gaddy?
Gimme Trae.
Oh. There's a nice little island you're on there. Little Ja Island.
Okay. I think Ja Morant's going to be the better playmaker. I think he can score in different ways.
Yeah, but Trae Young's going to have a year where he averages like 35 points. Like he's averaging 28 in his second year. It's unheard of. It's not unheard of, but it's
28. And
it's
8.
Rare, man. It is rare.
It is rare. I just like the size, the length, the athleticism of Ja Morant.
You just got your weird Grizzlies love affair. I love it.
Just a couple of players.
Yeah, a little bit. Is Dante Exum a bust? Harrison?
Yeah, I mean he was a top 5 pick.
Yeah. Ted?
At the moment, give him hopefully he's not injured again, is he?
No, he plays.
He's upright.
He plays.
Yeah, he's just because of luck, not because of a lack of skill or ability. I think he's shown flashes where if he had luck on his side, he would have been fine. But no, he's a bust at the moment.
Oh, got him.
Yep.
Oh.
Cold-blooded.
You look so sad when you said that.
Just to clarify what we're saying there, all the skills that he has currently is everything we knew he had.
But he
hasn't been able to grow at all because he's been injured all the time. So it's like you got a top five guy based on potential who's injured and never grew.
Based on what he's exhibited and what he's been able to produce, I imagine that's where everyone is coming from.
Yeah. I will say this though, and I know it's quick fire, but I'll just add this in. I know injuries have complicated the process, but I don't think Quinn Snyder has been the greatest molder of Dante Exum's career.
Yeah. They still
playing Raul Neto ahead of him for as long as he did. I don't think it was a great decision.
They were playing Emmanuel Mudiay over him today.
Yeah,
they've had offers for Exum in the past, and they always turn them around and turn them back though. So it's weird.
That would be. We've got to stop the Mudiay hate.
Kevin Mudiay.
Do we?
Yeah,
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Emmanuel.
Who's Kevin? I'm so bad at this. Also, he's good at scoring points, right? Mudiay?
He's like he goes on there 15-4-4 guy.
He comes off the bench and scores points. That's handy in basketball. I know enough to know that.
He's a fine defender. Jerry, right? I get you.
Yeah. Look how he spells his name. U-J-I-R-I. Yeah, some people look at that and go, what?
God,
all right. The Spurs are currently 9-14. Will they make the playoffs? Harrison?
No.
I think right now they're 10 or 11 in the West. No.
Yeah.
The West is too good with the Mavs being better than we thought they were going to be, and Portland still could make a late charge as well. There's too much competition for that eighth spot, I think.
That's a no?
It's a no.
Yes. Ready?
Yes.
They will?
Yes.
Ooh. I see you.
All right. The Kings just won their Texas back-to-back. They beat the Mavs and they beat the Rockets. They're 10 and 13 right now. Do they make the playoffs?
If they keep beating teams ahead of them, yeah.
Thank you, Ted. Harrison?
I'm going to say no. I reckon they miss out by like a game.
Dang. Ouch. Gutty, Sacramento Kings.
Nope.
Oh, no faith. No faith in Lukey Walton.
If Kevin Love got traded to the Utah Jazz, are they the best team in the West, Harrison?
No.
No? Ted?
Nah.
Not even a little bit.
Okay. I just like
them. I mean, they get better.
I like that trade. I hope they do it.
Well, what do you have to give up Love, though? That's the thing. It's like you'd have to give up
Dante Exum.
Yeah. No. You got to, what about the cap, though? You've got to give something back expensive.
Yeah, Dante Exum, Mudiay.
I just feel like they'd lose too many pieces to just get like a subpar defender who's been very, very injured.
Yeah. But
what about the Suns? Put him next to Baines or something? You know, that could work.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton exists.
Yeah, does he, though?
I mean,
in like he didn't four like games he does. To
invisibility.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you have something to say?
Oh, just everyone talks about like the Trae Young and Doncic. It's like everyone went Ayton before both of them. So, yeah. You know.
Next question. Do you think Kyrie Irving's shoulder injury is legit? This is my this is my tinfoil hat coming on. And that he had that shoulder injury right around the time that he was about to play, I think it was the Celtics Cavs. And another team he has history with, all in like a 3-game stretch. I think it was going to be the Knicks. Harrison, do you think it's a legitimate injury?
I mean, I want to say no because I'm not a huge fan, but yes.
Oh, Ted?
I'll push.
Of course you will. Gaddy?
It is legit. He'd be back by now if it wasn't.
Okay. Non-basketball question.
Yay.
Would you rather lose your ability to read or lose the ability to speak? Harrison?
Oh my God.
No brainer.
I'll lose the ability to read.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the obvious answer.
I'm like just ordering meals.
But you don't know what you're ordering.
Yeah, no, but I can say chicken burger.
That's true. If you're Masai Ujiri, how much money and or assets sways you to join the Knicks? So what is like the asking price of Masai Ujiri?
You find out what the highest paid GM is now and you say double it.
Dang. I feel like it's him.
I want significantly more than Phil Jackson. I want to be in complete control
of
everyone I get to hire, choosing everyone around me, and I'd be pushing for just so much holidays.
Complete autonomy. That's what he asked for.
Change MSG to MUG. And let it be Masai Ujiri's garden forever.
That'd be huge. That'd get him.
It'd get me.
Okay, first thing we need to do is name the Mecca after me, and then I'll come. How much do you want me? That's great.
off topic, and I only have one more of these, but is Masai Ujiri like the only GM who's ever been treated like a player free agent?
It used to happen commonly in NFL, but basketball, I'm not sure.
That's very interesting. I don't think it's ever happened before.
Not recently, at least.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Last question. Right now, the Bucks are number one overall. The Knicks are number 30. Does it remain that way by the end of the season?
Probably.
Probably?
Yes.
Guy D?
Yeah.
Bucks number one?
While we're on the East, can we just point out the home records of the team sitting in the top four?
Yeah.
43-1.
Quick math.
Really?
43-1.
That's such quick math. But also it's one.
The Bucks, it was their first game of the season against Miami Heat.
Man.
Yeah, 40, whatever I said.
43 and 1. Big ups to the Miami Heat for being, what, third in the East right now?
Yeah. I was throwing darts at a dartboard where I said they could be go well. I'll be honest, because of the Philo coach.
Yeah.
Always bring it back to that. But
you're a Filipino?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an Australian. I don't know if you could tell by the accent, but heritage. Yeah, my mum's Philo AF, as the kids are saying. I've always liked the Heat organisation from top to bottom, and the coach. They always coach their players up. You look at the young players, they're doing well. Tyler Hero. Hero had a great game on the weekend.
He was insane.
Yeah, and they had some players out. I'm pretty sure Dragic didn't play, so he had to step up, and he did. And I feel that's because the support staff he's got there with him, Miami Heat.
Big ups to Miami Heat.
Can I just add?
Yeah.
Does anyone know when Victor Oladipo is coming back?
I remember him. He's the singer, right?
He is. He's a really good singer.
I don't know when he's coming back, but the Indiana Pacers are 15-9 and done a really nice job without
him. They did the same thing last year.
Exactly.
Do you know
and
why?
They are literally an Oladipo return and a trade for Miles Turner, like trade him away for an asset, away from like being one of the contenders in the East.
I feel like they're waiting, not just for like the December 15 cutoff, so people who were signed in the offseason can be traded, but also for Miles Turner to actually play well before they trade him, because he's playing like trash right now. But it's okay because Domantas Sabonis is playing like an all-star.
It's a bonus. Sorry.
All right, we're going to go.
This time for real, I'll leave.
Yeah, we're going to go. Gotti's drawn a really nice photo just on the thing because he pays heaps of attention during our podcast.
Yep.
You don't draw photos, you draw pictures.
That's true. Yeah. I really want to get out of here. I've been here for so long. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Again, if you like what you heard, make sure you go on your favorite podcast app, whatever you listen to us on right
Trashes,
now.
Trashes, tell us what we did wrong, but just leave 5 stars, you bad.
Again, appreciate the people who left, you know, even just like constructive criticism over the past week.
Absolutely.
We took it to heart, obviously. And we'll take positive criticism too, please. Love of God. We'll see you next week.
Bye.